This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Everything in this life, any aspect of this life, or any activity a person may be doing, if it's an activity in which you could have various different or more than one motivation, where it could be polluted by some other kind of idea, then if that particular activity is free from that pollution or those external motivations, then it means that that particular action is mukhlas, it has ikhlas. That's essentially the, you can say, the literal or technical definition in a sense. That anything in which something else could pollute it, and that pollutant is absent, and it's purely for the sake of its primary purpose, then that is ikhlas. That's essentially what ikhlas is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةٍ نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. So again, this is an example of milk. This is an example of milk that from the stomach of a calf or a cow or any animal that gives milk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to extract, take out and give you pure milk from between the blood and all of the dirt that's in the stomach. So in this being, in this animal, you've got dirt, you've got blood, etc., etc. But from in between all of that, he's able to come and produce sweet, pleasant milk that has absolutely no blood inside or no dirt inside. خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. That's absolutely pure, unadulterated, unpolluted, and it is pleasant for the one who drinks it. That's essentially how our actions need to be. That though we may have all of these pollutants around us, but when we do an act for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it needs to be like that milk. That's why even in dreams, milk has a very good meaning, has a very pleasant meaning, has a very promising meaning, even when it comes to the dream world. So that is what you call pure milk, that doesn't have any of these other pollutants within it. If it does, if anything does have a pollutant, then it means that you are doing what you literally will call ishraq. Ishraq, shirk, all comes from the same term of sheen, ra, kaf. A lot of these banking, so-called Islamic banking organizations, institutions, they provide you a musharaka product. Musharaka, it means to share. Right, so shirk means to share, to have a partner in something. So essentially the bank owns the property with you and then you're trying to pay it off, and that's why you have a diminishing musharaka or partnership. So that's where you get this word from. So likewise, when it comes to activities of the deen, the same kind of thing. Do you have shirk in your actions? So generally we attribute the word shirk to impartnering somebody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ascribing a partner, consigning a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for us to say that Allah has somebody or the other with him in whatever we're doing. However, the word itself is obviously very general. It's about having any kind of pollution. That's essentially the idea. Now the thing is that when you have pollution in anything, sometimes to find out if something is pure, you can apparently tell if it's pure or not. Like it's pure enough. However, if you take milk for example, you can tell if there's something else in there because the color, it would become discolored. the taste would change, the look would change, and so on and so forth. But sometimes you may have bacteria in that milk. So it looks like milk, it looks pure, but you can't tell. It's got some bacteria which is dangerous for you, which is bad for you, detrimental for you. It's harmful. So in that case, that is hidden pollution, right? That is hidden pollution, that's khafi. So likewise, shirk or pollution, if we call it pollution, translate shirk as pollution, it has different stages. Some is clear pollution and some is hidden pollution, concealed pollution, crypto pollution, however you want to define it. Generally when it comes to deeds, the biggest factor is that you're not going to, in your deed, whatever that religious deed is that you're doing, you're generally not going to add some clear shirk in there. Like, start worshipping other than Allah. That's like clear shirk. Generally, what it's going to be is going to be a problem with your intention. It's going to be a problem with our objective. What we want to gain from that action. So that is where niyyah comes into play here. The reality of niyyah needs to be understood. The motivations. What are your motivations for doing this deed? What sets you on the path of doing this deed? If the motivation is one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it means there is no other pollutant. That niyyah is conducive to that action. That is what the action needs for it to be a living action in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The niyyah from Allah or for Allah. But if there is anything that is generally added to that, then there's going to be pollution. That's essentially the idea here. Now, for most people, if you're doing something purely for the sake of somebody else, then that is clearly shirk. That is clearly polluted. That is clearly not a mukhlis action. That is clear, no doubt. Having something done for the sake of Allah only seems to be clear, but that is where it's really difficult. How do you tell? For example, in milk, how do you know that there's only good bacteria in there? You need to really have special instruments to do that with. It's a very difficult process. You can tell if it's discolored. You can tell if it's got a mixture, generally speaking. Many people can't even tell that, as they do in third world countries where they were making milk from some totally foreign product. But in this case, to have something as simple as bacteria in there, how do you tell where the pollutant is? You're going to need some very special knowledge about this, special knowledge. And this is what this seems to be speaking about. For example, the most confusing aspect about this whole thing is that when many of us do good deeds, we have sometimes an additional reason for doing them, additional motivation for doing them. Just something that motivates us to maybe do it that is not purely for the sake of Allah. Now, you might be thinking, no, we don't do that. But this is why it's so difficult to determine whether it's pure or it has a slight pollution. That is what we're going to look at. So, for example, let's take all of these examples, and from this we should be able to understand our own examples. A person fasts. A person fasts so that he can also benefit from the research that shows that if you fast for 2 days a week, then it keeps you healthier. I'm getting fat, I've got health issues, I've got this issue, that issue. Doctors told me to eat less, I know I should eat less, so let me start fasting. Now, does that sound like you're polluting your fast? At the end of the day, we're going to fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we have this additional benefit in our mind that it's also going to help me lose weight. It's also going to help me eat less. It's also going to help me abstain from this, that and the other that I shouldn't be doing in the daytime. Do you understand? So, you have qasd al-taqarrub. Taqarrub means to the closeness to Allah. Qasd means intention. You have the intention of closeness to Allah, but you also have this. For example, somebody wants to do Hajj. So he goes for Hajj, pious intention, but also so that he can maybe, because he sits at home all the time and he's lazy, going for Hajj helps him to move around as well, makes him active, so that maybe inshallah he'll feel a bit better. He's feeling a bit miserable at home, so he wants to go for Hajj, meet people as well, right, be in the company of people as well. His primary intention is Hajj. Right? Primary intention is Hajj, but this is all an additional benefit. Or he goes to Hajj because he wants to avoid some fitna that's taking place in his local masjid. A bad example, but there's some politics going on in his masjid, or in his community, or in their family. There's some massive family feud going on. He just wants to get out of that, so he goes for Hajj. So he can escape that. Or there's an enemy, right? Or there's somebody he owes money to or something like that, and he's constantly on his case, so he goes out for Hajj or Umrah, for example. Or he wants to just take his family out on an outing for a trip. So he thinks the best place is to go for Hajj with that. Now, how do you make it khalis for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or he's just busy at work and just tension, depresses, a lot of problems. Okay, let me go and clear my mind in Hajj. Allahu Akbar. Or a person decides to go, this is when there's a jihad or something, decides to go and take part in the training and so on and so forth so that they can become fitter. Right. So the whole purpose is to get healthy, get a free workout, free training. Or a person stays awake at night, a person prays at night, the Tahajjud prayer. And the whole point of it is because he is in a place where he has to look after, he is in a dangerous place, he's maybe traveling, he's in a dangerous place, so he has to stay up and make sure that nobody takes their luggage or attacks them or anything of that nature. He has to stay awake anyway, so his excuse, one motivation for praying his tahajjud is so that it can keep him awake. Now, these all seem very innocent to us. All of these seem very innocent, and this is some stuff that we would do. The person studies knowledge because he sees that, mashallah, ulama make a lot of money. Right? You know, he must be someplace where, mashallah, ulama make a lot of money. So he reckons that I should go and do a 2-3 year course. So that will make it easy for me. I am unsuccessful in every other way that I do business. Maybe this way it will help me. Or so that he can become respected. He sees that ulama respected, people respect them and so on and so forth. So I can be respected as well. So then he starts studying and then wants to be called knowledge for that. Or because, this is probably talking about in certain contexts where if somebody is of knowledgeable nature, that even the bad people of the area, they won't touch their property. Whereas other properties may be prone to attack. But a person who's of a knowledge background or something, people respect them. So they're a bit frightened of them, so the bad people will not attack. So he does this so that he becomes known as part of that. Or a person likes to talk. So he gets involved in teaching or preaching so that he can avoid just feeling depressed because he's got nobody else to talk to. So he goes out in Jamaat so that he can give a 6-point lecture or something of that nature, right? So that at least he's got somebody to talk to. You know, maybe at home nobody wants to talk to him or something like that. Or just to enjoy, he just likes talking. Now, all of these seem very pious deeds. Keep that in mind. Or a person goes to do khidmah and to serve some ulama or sulaha. You know, for example, if there's a tablighi jamaat or something like that, it's people who go to do khidmat of the akabir that have come, or any of the ulama that come to go and do khidmat of this, just so that he will also gain respect by that association, so people will respect him. And a lot of people do this. They say they are the khadim of Sheikh Tariq Jameel Sahab. Right? He's a khadim of Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahab. He's a khadim of Sheikh Yunus Sahab. You know, there's this concept. So then you get suddenly, because of that association, this is how things work in the world, because of association you get a benefit. Or a person takes on inscribing, writing, scripting a mushaf, a Quran, just so they can practice their calligraphy and keep it up. Another one, somebody decides to go for Hajj walking, so that their purpose for walking is so they can save money only from the train ticket or plane ticket. You know, somebody living in maybe another city in Saudi Arabia or somewhere where walking is possible with a great difficulty. So with all that difficulty, the only reason is just to save some money. It's not like they don't have it's not as if they don't have the money. They do have the money, but just to save that money. Or a person does wudu on a hot day just to cool down. Or to because their face and their arm and everything like that is a bit dirty, soiled or whatever, got some dust on it, and decided to do wudu to get rid of it. or somebody does i'tikaf, they come 10 days i'tikaf or whatever, right, in the local masjid, because they know they'll be provided free food, everything, you know, less electricity at home, less food, less spending, and so on and so forth. So they go and sit every Ramadan, they go and sit in the masjid for 10 days. Or a person fasts so that they don't have to cook, right? Their fasting reason is, oh man, I can't bother cooking, I can't bother, you know, looking for food, for shopping, this, that and the other, or it's cheaper to fast, right? So for that reason, they fast. Or a person gives sadaqah to a faqir, for a person who's begging, so that you can get them off your back. So they don't keep bothering you. Look, I gave you yesterday, because, you know, you can tell them, look, I gave you 2 days ago, so that should work, you know, last a week. Come on, don't bother me for a week now. Here you go, don't bother me for a week. There's nothing wrong with trying to get him off your back. But the whole question is that how pure is your action of giving him the money? That's the question. Another one which is very common, unfortunately this is social for us, social problem for us, to go and visit somebody when they're sick, so that they will visit you when you're sick. It's a very common one. To go to their wedding, their walima, etc., so that they will come to yours. Or they came to yours, so you go to theirs. Whereas it's supposed to be sunnah to attend a walima, for example. To go to somebody's janaza, just so you could be noticed, so that they will come to your janaza as well. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Or to do anything, just so that you could be recognized for it, and then maybe people say good words about you for it. So essentially, this is all of these things are things that we have issues with. So the way to look at all of this, as Imam Ghazali mentions, is that whenever the motivation is purely to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to do this for Allah, if it also has any of these motivations in it, even a slight notion of it, just so that then the action becomes a bit easier for you to do, because motivations is what drives us. If you have a motivation to do something difficult for a reason that is purely for the sake of Allah, you're going to have to really love Allah for you to go and do that act. But what makes it easier for us to do the act is when we have other selfish motivations. It makes that act easier then. That is the benefit. That is the worldly human benefit from these things. Because a human is what is driven by his motivation. It just makes life easier. It just makes things easier for you to do. And the person who's, who's going to be the most affected by this is a person who is a good businessman, who's very smart. They're going to have problems with this. So their smartness is going to be very good for the deen. Sorry, for the dunya. They're going to be tops in the world. They're going to be always doing, you know, always ahead of the game in the world. But without realizing, they're going to have a problem with these things. And I'm telling you this from personal experience, that this is going to be a problem. Because a person is always going to be scheming. That person's mind works like this, to try to always get more benefit than anybody else in something that you do. I can do this, I can also benefit like this. You know, it's like hacking, as they call it, right? How do you hack it to get the most benefit out of it? People hack everything, you know? So they're going to be hacking the deen as well. But it's not going to be purely for the sake of Allah. Ya Allah, can you imagine where our actions are good? You know, what do we have any pure actions? That's why the simple-minded who just focus on one thing in terms of the deen, I think they're going to be successful. Unless this smart person really gets smart in a proper way and understands that, no, this must be, and that can only come from tawfiq. So if anybody has that additional motivation just to lighten that burden, then they have come out of pure ikhlas. And it's not now 100% for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some shirk, some pollution, some bacteria has crept into it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now why are we being so strict about this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا أَغْنَ الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. I am the most independent and most unneeded, unneedy. Like, right? of any partners in their partnership. Like, I am not in any need to be in a partnership, essentially. I'm the most above that. So if you want to partner anybody with me, you're doing it wrong, because I don't need a partner. I'm more than enough. Any worldly motivation away from Allah, towards which the heart will incline, whether it be a small amount or a large amount, then it will pollute that action. It's as simple as that. It will pollute that action. And this is the problem with the human being. Imam Ghazali is saying that the insan is shackled by his own desires. We're shackled by our own selfishness, our own selfish motivations. We are immersed in our desires. Very few people who will have worship that is purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that have nothing else in it. That's why someone has said, من سلم له من عمره لحظة من سلم له من عمره لحظة واحدة خالصة لوجه الله نجا. If a person, any person, has even one single moment that was khalis for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will gain salvation. That's how powerful ikhlas is. Because it is so difficult to come by. Do you understand? It is so difficult for ikhlas to come by. Pure ikhlas. Just because of the way we are in this world. That means if a person does attain to ikhlas even for a moment in his life, just for one moment, that would be enough for salvation. Because it doesn't come by easily. It doesn't come by easily. That's why anybody who does get it will have worked very hard to get it even for that one moment. So the reason why they'll be successful is because of how difficult ikhlas is to attain, and how difficult it is to purify the heart and make it purely for the sake of Allah, and to make it khalis from any other motivation. So all the examples that we gave, their primary motivation were those good deeds, but then they just had these additional reasons to make it easy for them, to give them additional motivation to do those actions. That is why now we understand, and you know, this was always a question in my mind, for example, that whenever ulama would mention that ikhlas has to be learnt. Ikhlas has to be learnt. Ikhlas you can only learn in the company of people who have ikhlas. Ikhlas can only be learnt by benefiting of this nature. Ikhlas takes a very long time to learn. And you used to always wonder, what's so difficult about ikhlas? Because we think, but as Imam Ghazali points out, the purity is very difficult to attain. To get pure 100% is very difficult to attain. And he says that the only person who will get this, what is the nature of a person who will get pure ikhlas? It is the person who has totally freed himself and his mind that any motivation that he has is purely for the sake of Allah. This can only be imagined in a person who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's just absolutely in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his entire focus of his life is the akhirah. The entire focus is like just totally intoxicated by the idea of the hereafter only, right? To such a degree that he has absolutely no love of the world left. For him, sand and gold is the same. It just doesn't stay in his heart. The world does not have any place in his heart. He doesn't even like to eat or drink. The only reason he eats or drinks is so that he can fulfill the requirement, the demand of the absolute basic necessity of staying alive. Just, I have to eat because I have to stay alive. So he doesn't like food because it's food, but because it gives him just enough, it gives him the sustenance, the nourishment, the power to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his entire, his mindset is such that I wish that I could not have these pangs of hunger. These pangs of hunger would be removed from me so that I don't even have to eat and I have more time for worship. That's why it was one of the aslaf, he used to just snack on these seeds. And somebody asked him, what are you doing? He says, well, I've counted that in terms of having a proper meal and snacking on these, I can get 50 extra tasbihs in that time. So for 40 years, this is what I've been doing. For the last 30, 40 years, this is what I've been doing, just so I can get that extra moment to do tasbih. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. So the only reason this particular person would like the dunya is because it's, according to the deen, it demands that he has that much. Otherwise, his entire focus is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that kind of a person, imagine it, if he eats, he drinks, he earns, he fulfills any of his needs, it's going to be purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's going to be purely for the sake of Allah in every movement of his. So if he sleeps, it's because he is resting so that he can have enough strength to stand up in prayer. Anybody whose status is not like that, according to Imam Ghazali. Now, Imam Ghazali is extreme in this regard. There's no doubt about that, right? But I think he's just giving it the way it is. And the whole idea of this is not to make people despondent. Now, I don't know what reaction it's had on you people, right? I hope the reaction is not that, forget it, give it up, there's no point. Because for some people that is what the case is when they hear things of this nature. Kya faida? Kya kaise? How are you going to do this? Right? The idea of this is to at least be knowledgeable about, be aware of it. And I really believe what Imam Dhahabi says. Imam Dhahabi says that one of the biggest calamities of this ummah that will always pervade it will be ignorance. When you don't know what the right thing is to do, then you're on the wrong side of things. At least that we know what's right, we can maybe even attain a bit of it. And at least if we know what's correct and that we are wrong and that we have a shortcoming, at least we can do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least we have an intention to be pure one day. One is that a person is not pure, he thinks he's pure, he thinks he's got ikhlas. He's not going to ask for ikhlas. He thinks he's already got it. But for a person who knows they don't have it, who just realized, look, I am so far off, they're going to ask Allah, they're going to have an intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually reward us according to intention. So as long as that doesn't become a deception as well, that whole concept. So that is the benefit of at least knowing this, so that at least we can try to get greater ikhlas than we've had before. I mean, it says that anybody who is dominated by the dunya, by elevation in the dunya, leadership in the dunya, then that is going to pollute his actions. Remember I told you, a business-minded person, this smart aleck, right, who's just smart about everything, they're going to be smart about their deen as well, in the negative sense. And that's meaning they're polluting their action. There's a person who spent 30 years performing every salat in the masjid in the first saf. How many? 30 years, every salat in the masjid in the front row. One day he happened to be late and he had to perform it in the second row. And he said, I became so embarrassed that people are going to look at me and say, look, he missed it in the first saf. Because he'd become a symbol of the first saf, of the first. And he said that this is when I realized that my being in the first saf for all of these years, it was for the wrong reason. It was for the wrong reason. What Imam Ghazali says is that هَذَا دَقِيقٌ غَامِضٌ قَلَّمَا تَسْلُمُ الْأَعْمَالِ مِنْ أَمْثَالِهَا. This is such a hidden problem, such a concealed malady and pollution, that very few actions are bereft of these problems. وَقَلَّ مَنْ يَتَنَبَّهْ لَهُ. And very few people will even realize this. إِلَّا مَنْ وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Except the one Allah gives tawfiq to. And that's why الْغَافِلُونَ يَرَوْنَ حَسَنَاتِهِمْ كُلَّهَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ سَيِّئَاتِ. Those who are ghafil, they will then realize in the hereafter that all of their good deeds were actually sayyat, were actually bad deeds. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about such people, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ وَبَدَى لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. What will become revealed to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter is what they would never have thought about. They would have thought they're doing good in this world, but what would be revealed to them, they would never have imagined. And that's why the evil of their good deeds or the evil of whatever they had earned will become clear for them in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. He says, say that should we tell you about the person who is the worst off in terms of his deeds? He's got deeds, but he's the worst off in his deeds. It's the one whose every attempt and whose efforts of this world has gone to waste, and they think that they've done good deeds. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then he takes a specific strike at ulama, because the ulama have a deed, a role to play, which is very specifically to do with the deen. So outwardly it's all to do with the deen, to assist people, to give da'wah, to help people, to bring people closer to Allah. And shaitan comes in that as well. To show, oh, you're doing this, you're doing that, it's purely for the sake of Allah. But then there can be so many other pollutions within that. So he specifically talks about that afterwards. And I think the ilaj of all of this at the end of the day is first to know about it. So may Allah reward Imam Ghazali for even revealing to us. And he says it over and over again. He says there are very few people who will understand this problem. There are very few people who will understand it to this depth and not be deluded. He says because most of these things are very unclear except on people who really know. And most people, he says, do not know. So number one, we ask Allah to send His blessings on people who reveal this for us. Number one. Number two is that we ask Allah for ikhlas, because you have to remember that as difficult as that sounds, do not become despondent, because Allah has the ability to give us purity and to give us ikhlas. So we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is not a moment of despondency, but rather it's a moment of wakefulness, to be awakened by this and to start asking Allah for purity in our actions. So at least the next time we do deeds, then we have the right intention for it. And that's the whole reason that we come together. That's the whole reason we come together, is to learn ikhlas. In these majalis that we have, it's to learn ikhlas, because that's the whole reason. Otherwise we could be out there doing whatever else that we wanted to do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestow all of us with great ikhlas, because our deeds, our motivations are so polluted that we have absolutely no ability to do this on our own. But وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ability over all things. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the generous one. Allah is the giving one. Allah loves to be asked. So we're going to use all of that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us and to turn our actions into good deeds and to give us the real true concern for the hereafter. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اللهم يا حنان يا منان لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله. جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله. جزى الله عنا محمدا ما هو أهله. Oh Allah, we are your feeble, sinful servants. Oh Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you for strength and compassion. Oh Allah, we ask you for your special attention. Oh Allah, we ask you for your special attention. Oh Allah, we ask that you forgive us. Oh Allah, for our sins that we commit, for our excesses, for our shortcomings. Oh Allah, for our sins that have become our personal traits and habits. Oh Allah, that we no longer think of them as sins, they've become incorporated in our life. Oh Allah, we've lost all sense of embarrassment in front of you. Oh Allah, we're embarrassed of others, but we're not embarrassed of you anymore. Oh Allah, forgive us for this excess. Oh Allah, forgive us for this oversight. Forgive us for this crime, this sin. Oh Allah, oh Allah, only you we can ask for forgiveness. Oh Allah, only you can we ask for to assist us with purifying our actions for you. Oh Allah, have any of our actions been for your sake? Oh Allah, we ask that you make them for your sake, despite our shortcomings, our pollutions, our selfishness. Oh Allah, and our scheming, our plotting, and our planning. Oh Allah, our false intelligence that doesn't understand what's the best for you. Oh Allah, that's the best for us in terms of success with you. Oh Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. We ask you for protection. Oh Allah, we ask you to guide us aright. Oh Allah, we ask you to guide us aright. And oh Allah, to make all of our subsequent deeds those that are pure for your sake. Oh Allah, this seems so difficult for us. Oh Allah, but do not make us despondent of this. Oh Allah, do not make us lose hope. Oh Allah, do not make us lose hope. Do not allow us to lose hope. Oh Allah, because you have ability over all things. Oh Allah, you have ability over all things. Oh Allah, you have ability over all things. Today we have discovered that we don't have true ikhlas. Today we have discovered we don't have true ikhlas. Oh Allah, what will happen if we wake up on the Day of Judgment and we think we have done good deeds and discover that it's all bad deeds? Where are we going to turn on that day? Oh Allah, make this gathering a pure gathering. Oh Allah, make all of our hearts a pure hearts. Oh Allah, assist us in this regard. Oh Allah, assist us in this regard. Oh Allah, Shaitan attacks us at every moment to pollute our deeds. Our nafs has become his accomplice. So even if Shaitan isn't around, our nafs does his deed. Oh Allah, we have an enemy within us. Oh Allah, we have an enemy within us. Oh Allah, subdue this enemy. Rid us of this enemy. Oh Allah, make this enemy our encouragement rather than our encouragement towards the good, and make us nafs make it nafsun mutma'inna. Oh Allah, only you can do this. We can only do this through your assistance. Oh Allah, we can only do this through your assistance. Oh Allah, grant us your nur in our hearts. Oh Allah, because we can no longer fight with the shaitan alone. Oh Allah, we've seen in this world that when children can no longer walk, when children get tired of walking, they ask their parents to pick them up. Oh Allah, we ask you to pick us up, because Shaitan has polluted all of our deeds. Oh Allah, Shaitan has polluted all of our deeds. We ask you for dominance. We ask you for dominance against the Shaitan. Dominance against our nafs. Oh Allah, we ask you for assistance before it's too late. Oh Allah, we ask you for the kalima la ilaha illallah on our deathbed. We ask you for the concern of the hereafter and for you to be constantly in our heart. Oh Allah, accept our deeds, protect us and our children, our progeny until the Day of Judgment. Protect the Muslimin around the world. Grant the Muslimin ikhlas. Allow your nusra and your assistance to come and to shower upon us. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Accept our du'as. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Oh Allah, accept from all of those and grant them purity of intention. All of those who've assisted in making this majlis. Oh Allah, in making these gatherings occur, happen, and then allowing it them to be disseminated the world over. Oh Allah, grant all of those people ikhlas as well. Grant them ikhlas as well. Grant them ikhlas as well. Oh Allah, grant ikhlas to all of us. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.